Most now know there's no known cure for the Ebola virus, but labs have been working on one. The two American relief workers at Emory University Hospital received ZMapp, the experimental treatment produced by a company in San Diego. Another company, Cambridge, Massachusetts-based Sarepta Therapeutics, approaches the Ebola virus from a different angle, and they're hoping the FDA will fast-track the drug through the testing process and the government will help pay for production. Sarepta began work on an Ebola drug in 2010 through a program funded by the Department of Defense. But they face the problem all drug makers face. Limited market demand means limited funding. But then when the demand is big, as it is in this outbreak, drugs sit stuck in the approval pipeline. Sarepta CEO Chris Garabedian is in the studio with us. And how does your drug, AVI-7537, differ from the ZMapp that the missionaries were given?
What we're doing is we're suppressing the viral protein that causes replication of the Ebola virus.
Now, let me jump in there to say ZMapp reproduces antibodies and then gives them to humans so that those antibodies can then fight the virus. But you're talking about fighting the protein that replicates the virus.
That's right.
Yeah. But isn't that too late? Because we understand that what Ebola does is it binds to a vulnerable cell and then, as you say, starts replicating with this protein. But it's ferocious. Isn't it too late to start blocking the replication?
Well, actually, what we've seen in animal studies, so the FDA has a special pathway called animal rule, because in cases like Ebola, you can't do your clinical studies. So they have animal models of infection. We've done a study with a similar hemorrhagic fever virus called Marburg, where we waited 48 hours, 96 hours after infection of these primate models. And even after 96 hours of infection, we still had 100% survival at the end of a 14-day course of treatment.
So you're saying that reducing that protein, reducing the replication, gives the body time to use its own antibodies to fight it.
Well, and the way it works is that there's a cycle. There's a course of that viral replication, and it usually hits its peak probably somewhere between 4 and 10 days. So we think that there's a window where you can still suppress that virus and get through that dangerous period. And if they get beyond, let's say, 12 to 14 days, usually they're okay and they can survive.
And by the way, you said hemorrhagic fever is a reminder that this is a terrible disease. You end up bleeding to death, literally hemorrhaging. Well, in a sense, you've been here before. You're CEO of Sarepta since 2011. You pushed the FDA hard and have been pushing hard to grant accelerated approval of a drug called eteplirsen. This showed promising results in treating a very rare illness, Duchenne muscular dystrophy. It only affects a small group of boys. Again, this idea that there's not a huge demand, but an acute need. And you had critics at the time. We're reading that some Sarepta executives moved to limit your role because they felt it was perhaps pushing too hard of the FDA.
None of my authorities have been curtailed. The board of Sarepta put out a statement, within the last couple of weeks stating that I have the full authority to meet with the FDA, oversee our clinical studies. But I have had a sense of urgency on behalf of the parents of these boys and the patients out there who believe they would take this drug tomorrow because they're living with the disease. They see the safety profile and the evidence we have. And that's where we feel it's our obligation, because that's what we're here about.
Well, what about when it comes to the Ebola virus? What has it been like to watch this outbreak in countries and know that you've been working on something?
Well, look, this was in part something that's been happening over the last, several years where we've had funding from the Department of Defense. They recognize that this is a technology that can be adapted very rapidly. In fact, we've done rapid response exercises where we can turn around drug candidates in a matter of days or weeks on a, virus that's provided to us, the gene of a virus that's provided to us. So they recognize the power of this to protect against future pandemics or bioterrorist threats. So right now, in the last couple of weeks, we've had tremendous interest because we have some drug available, drug substance to treat
a couple dozen patients.
A couple dozen. We have enough drug materials that we could produce upwards of doses for 100 patients in the next several months. But we don't have the scale. On this type of situation, if we needed thousands or tens of thousands or, God forbid, millions of courses to protect against viruses like Ebola, we don't have the infrastructure built or the support to scale up manufacturing. this is where we're going to get into rationing of care. And we don't want to be in that situation. We don't want to see anybody not be able to have treatment. But it is going to take a significant investment from our government.
Well, but on the other hand, for those who say the FDA moved too slow on this and shouldn't have cut your funding from the Department of Defense, others might say, no, I want the FDA to go very slow when you're talking about testing monkeys that have it. A lot of people don't want to see that done fast because, of course, if it's not handled safely, then you have a tremendous problem.
Well, you know, I think we have, safety data in healthy volunteers, and it looks so far to be safe. When you're dealing with safety efficacy issues, you're really talking about risk benefit. And so if we're talking about, high cholesterol, right, absolutely, you need to have very, measured approaches to before you get a drug approval to make sure it's safe, that it's not going to do more harm than the disease might be causing. In the case of Ebola, where if somebody's infected, there's almost assurance of 100%, mortality within 10 to 15 days, that's an issue where the risk benefit is shifted. And as long as you have a pretty good degree of confidence that that drug is not going to do more damage than the disease is going to do, it does make sense, right, to fast track these types of therapies when there is that evidence of promise, even if it's in a primate model.
And you have been contacted by the FDA?
We've been in discussions with the FDA should the request arise, and we think that they would be quick to allow the emergency use of a drug like ours again. But we are waiting
for funding to scale up. Yeah.
Right. The scale up is something that we would have to look to. That's a large investment, and that's not coming from the FDA. That would be our Health and Human Services Department, and there has to be the need there that they see the urgency of scaling up. And we think it's here. We think these types of crises highlight the need to be prepared for the next one because, this is the biggest outbreak we've ever seen of Ebola or these types of hemorrhagic fever viruses. If the next one is even bigger or more virulent or going around the world more rapidly, we don't want to say, gee, we had a drug, we didn't, respond quickly enough to scale up. Let's learn from these situations so we can be prepared for the next one. And we're just going to try to help as best we can with this crisis in front of us.
Chris Garabedian, CEO of Sarepta Therapeutics. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. It's been wonderful to be on your show.